Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, my next guest, you know well, he's a TV chef from Armagh who sold over a million books from his Board of Lunch phenomenon. He's known as on ITV's This Morning as the Air Fryer King, Nathan Anthony. Good morning, welcome.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, even.
I know, it was a good afternoon.
Yeah. I'm still getting used to that. Your Board of Lunch video, there's over a billion views now.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's just wild.
It's really blew up.
Are you okay with that now? Have you coped with this? You've had time.
Yeah. No, it's nice. It's so nice to see when people interact with the videos and the recipes that you post. So it's always nice when videos get good views.
This is in 2 or 3 years.
COVID, yeah, we set this up during COVID. Yeah. It's just a working from home lockdown situation. And
tell us a little bit about yourself, because you grew up Portadown was home.
Yeah, Portadown. From Portadown, went to university. And
quite a normal enough upbringing at home.
Very normal. Didn't work in a kitchen or anything like that.
Went to university. Your parents weren't chefs or anything?
No, they weren't. No, didn't come from a food background.
They were hard workers. Yeah. I believe they had separate jobs.
Mum worked in a pharmacy and dad worked in a factory. And then
it was a food factory.
It was a food factory. He wasn't cooking in it though.
What were they making? Do you know?
It was in Denny's. I think it was in Denny's he worked in, yeah, back then. He's had a couple of different jobs, but yeah, he wasn't a chef. He still doesn't cook.
More sausages than he'd ever wanted. You love the fact that your parents were very young.
Yeah, my parents were really young. So when I kind of was 18, 19, I seen them out in bars. I was like, what are you doing here? And they're like, we're out enjoying ourselves too, Nathan. So yeah, no, they're good crack. I love them.
They had you as teenage sweethearts.
Yeah, yeah. They were together from their 13 and then I came along when they were late teens.
So, they were together since they're 13?
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
And there were more of you. You were the first, were you?
Yeah, I was the first, yeah. But yeah, the favourite. I don't like to say it. Hopefully they're not listening.
It's part of the origin story, by the way. But I love the fact you're in your early 30s. Mm-hmm. So your parents have only recently turned 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah, they're early 50s, yeah.
Do you probably feel like you're kind of closer in age, even though your kids, they're the old people for ages?
Well, I say to mum and dad, as like, if we're in the nursing home and you're 100, I'm going to be there with you. I'll be in my early 80s. So like, you'll be on liquid food and I'll be on like semi-pureed. So I'll not be far behind you.
You'll still be cooking the way in the corner.
I know.
When did you start to cook then? Because you're the spoiled kid at home. Yeah. I don't think you were let cook, really, were you? Your claim?
Yeah, mum always said, you know, it was all boys in the house and she just said, you'll burn the house down, you aren't cooking. I went to university and I didn't even know how to change bed linen, which is really bad. That's how spoiled we were.
Shocking.
And cooked with my granny and cooked with my aunties and had some really good home cooks in the family. Mum was a good cook as well.
Yeah.
And then when I went to university, I had no choice. Well, not that I wanted to. I was like, mum can't stop me now, I have to cook.
Yeah, you're house sharing.
Yeah,
house sharing. Fast.
And used the slow cooker and the air fryer as well, because when you're living in a house with six other students, it's like they're all fighting over the hob or they're fighting over the oven. And I just found, I was like, great, you can fight over that. I have my slow cooker and my air fryer. I'm happy enough.
That's what you did.
Yeah, and it just stuck.
When you bought the air fryer, did you know what to do with it when you took it home?
Well, mum was an early adopter for air fryer. Ah. When we were growing up, mum done Slimming World. She probably slapped me for saying that. But she had one of these old air fryers. It was massive. It looked like a Hoover. And it used to spin the food around. And it was like a tea file or something. It was
took forever to heat up.
Yeah, it took. But it also rotated the food around it. It was like a washing machine, but that was warm. Big dome, and then they kind of got a bit more advanced and more modern, so I got my own and kind of never looked back.
Was she teaching you how to use it when you were in college, or how did you?
Not really, I just kind of watched her. I was like, oh, she's doing her roast potatoes and that, so I just kind of thought, this is a healthier way. She wasn't using that much oil when she was doing her roasties, so I just thought, I'm gonna give this a go, and it just kind of stuck.
And what were you doing in college?
I was doing a degree in business management, so always kind of wanted to be like entrepreneurial or set my own business up. And then as a graduate into British Telecom, once I finished university and then done my master's and went into different roles like senior management and project management and not food related whatsoever.
Yeah, you've quite a serious job in BT.
It's very corporate, traveling and London a lot too. But
you weren't looking for something to build a whole online profile with. You had this
very good job. And then lockdown started and I wasn't furloughed or nothing like that. I was still working from home and I just thought, I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. I can't go to the cinema or meet people outside. So I'm just going to start uploading recipes to one, to keep me accountable, but two, to maybe help people eat healthier during a very kind of scary time during the pandemic. Is like, hopefully this kind of boosts people's immune system with all these kind of healthy soups and recipes. Mm-hmm. And then it just took off. It just really blew up.
You were into your fitness, so the healthy aspect of mm-hmm. the using the air fryer really mm-hmm. appealed to you, didn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge amount of oil.
Yeah, and very little oil in the air fryer. You know, they're quicker, you know, they're healthier. And I just kind of gravitated towards them. But the slow cooker as well, they're great for people that have a busy job. They're out working all day. They've busy job, busy family, and you can put it on in the morning and then come back and dinner's done.
That's what you liked about it when you were working?
Loved it. Yeah, it's just great for managing your meals and being in control of what's going into your food as well. So, I love the gadgets.
So you went from being the spoiled lad, you didn't cook at all. Now you do all the cooking in your house.
Yeah, I know. That's it. But I for me, cooking's a distraction as well. I find it very kind of relaxing. It's kind of like, yeah, you just maybe obviously at the weekend when you're cooking, you might have a glass of wine with it. So maybe that might
that's why
it's relaxing at the weekend. But yeah, I find it a kind of a relaxing kind of hobby.
Your other half, she's a doctor in the NHS.
Doctor in the NHS, yeah.
So
they
don't have a lot of time to do meal prep and so on. So it's handy to have
you. No. But both into our health and stuff as well. But I think I do all the cooking. But I love it. Like my job doesn't feel like a job really now. Working on this, it just
really?
Yeah, it's great.
She doesn't get involved in the online stuff. Does you keep that all private?
Nice and private. I think, you know, there's a kind of an expectation when you have a social media profile that you have to share your public life online. But I never set my social media accounts up with the intention for it to become anything.
Yeah.
I never set it up with the intention to become like an influencer or content creator. It was just a hobby during the pandemic. Mm. And then it just blew up. And I just kind of always said, you know, it is work, and that's kind of, I don't overshare online. I think it's important. And I think being that their work as an oncologist, so they're treating people with cancer, and I think I would never want to have their face online.
Yeah.
So that's why it's kind of very private as well.
Very classy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of rare, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I think the secret to your videos are, we're blown away by the simplicity of what are kind of lovely fancy dishes that in the end, and how good they look.
Yeah. No, I think just keeping it very accessible for everybody as well. Do you know, there's nothing as frustrating when you see a recipe or you open a cookbook and there's ingredients in it, one, that you don't recognise, or two, you don't know where to get them, or even worse, they're too expensive to buy. So my kind of ethos is, I always want to make food so accessible. I went to Ballymaloe trained as a chef, but I come back and I've still kind of posted recipes the way I always post them, because it's...
You went to Ballymaloe only after you became a sensation. Mm. You had a little bit of imposter syndrome, did you?
Definitely, yeah. I think, you know, when you work in this industry and you're alongside, you know, really kind of decorated celebrity chefs and TV chefs who own their own restaurant business, and that's not my background. I just thought, who am I? I have no qualifications to be writing cookbooks, and these people have worked in restaurants. They've really kind of got into the...
And selling at the scale.
I know. So I just kind of felt like a bit of a cheat. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to take 3 months out and kind of have their credentials to say, you know what, I've kind of got the background and the knowledge to be writing these cookbooks. So it was in 3 months. It was amazing too.
Down in Cork.
It was great.
I presume you hadn't been too familiar with Cork.
I had never been to Cork before.
Yeah.
It was quite a drive from Belfast. It was a 4.5 hour drive. I stayed down there. I lived on the farm, you know, for 12 weeks.
It was great. A very serious course.
Yeah, it was really intense, but amazing though, you know, really understanding, you know, food, where it comes from, looking at Irish produce and, you know, kind of really thinking about where you're buying your food from and what your food does for your gut health and your health and... just respecting the soil and the environment. So I fell in love with Cork.
They were the sort of things you learned down there as well, all those kind of...
All the organic produce. It was I think it's 100-acre organic farm. It's just incredible. And cooking, and definitely dishes that I probably wouldn't normally cook at home, you know, making pastries from scratch and fancy canapes, stuff that I wouldn't really post online, because I think, you know, it's great to have that skill, but I think mainstream people want food that's accessible, that's going to make their life easier,
and
save them money, and
healthier. Short as well.
Yeah, short and sweet. You know, you don't want to watch someone cook for half an hour when I can show you a quick 45 seconds. It doesn't take 45 seconds to make it. The video might be that. But kind of short and snappy.
I have to watch it a number of times sometimes.
Yeah. Probably because of the accent. They're like, yeah,
that's,
I know.
I'd be glad of that. Do you get comments on the accent?
Oh, definitely. People from outside
of
Ireland.
It's so international,
isn't it? Yeah, it's, the books are published in Australia and America, and I think there's maybe like 18 different languages now that the book's published in. So you get people commenting saying, what is an air fryer? And I'm like, oh, just don't cut. They love how we say air fryer. Well, air fryer, I'm thinking about how I'm saying it now. But yeah, we say air fryer very different up the north. I think you say it different down here.
We know exactly what you're saying.
But people comment on it and saying, what are you saying? I need subtitles.
Literally, there are subtitles. That's what
there
are.
I know that's what comes on.
The most popular one is kind of, was that a surprise to you? The chicken, chorizo, mozzarella, pesto?
Yeah, it was a refrigerated recipe. It was standing on didn't have that many ingredients. And I thought, right, if chicken breasts, I have seasoning, I have pesto and I have pepperoni, I'll shove the pesto and the pepperoni inside it with a bit of cheese and give it a bit of seasoning and shove it into the air fryer and have it with a bit of rice or something. And I just kind of recorded me making it, and I had something like 100 million views, and I'm like, I've just put stuff inside a chicken breast and threw it into an air fryer, and people have watched it 100 million times.
It just looks so good when it comes out.
So easy, though, that's the thing. I think people love food that's easy and accessible. Yeah, it has to be, you know, it shouldn't be complex and expensive.
And you get that nice looking meal in the middle of the week when you're busy.
That's it.
Who's watching your videos? Because you have all the data and demographics and everything. Did it start differently to how it is now? It's obviously so big, it's just everybody.
It used to be called Board of Lunch Belfast, but it started to grow at such a rate that I just thought, I'm going to have to drop Belfast because I have all these people from different parts of the UK starting to follow now. So I dropped Belfast, but Dublin, Belfast and London would be my number one cities.
Those figures.
I think we've nearly maybe like 7 million followers online now across like TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. So it's really, really nice. And I'm kind of, I pinch myself and I'm so grateful that one, people from home have really got behind me, but two, people from different countries have kind of really just enjoyed the content and the books.
The first two books came out 2023, I think it was.
Mm-hmm,
so you were doing that. Did you have any idea this was going to be such a sensation?
No, I had no clue. I thought, you know, I'm going to do one or two books and then in 10 years' time, I'm still going to be in my corporate job and tell people, hear about you didn't know years ago. I'd put it on my CV. You know, when you go to those corporate things, like tell us something interesting about you. I thought in 10 years' time, I'm saying, I wrote a cookbook a couple of years ago. And that would be it. But when the cookbooks launched, like it became one of the fastest selling cookbooks ever published. And it was something that I kind of never prepared for. But I still kept working on my day job. I just thought, you know what? I don't care. I still love my day job. And I think I can do this on the side. And then Board of Lunch was then commissioned for years to come. And my family just said, Nathan, you have to pull the plug now. You can't do this both. You're running yourself down.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted to do both, I had to kind of let my former life go and embrace this new career. So
The Sunday Times bestseller list for 2023, 738,000 sales combined. Some of the books outsold, one of the books outsold a Colleen Hoover and the other one a Richard Osman.
I know, isn't it mad
and
though?
That's just the UK figures. It doesn't include Ireland. It's not even all of the UK figures because I think it only covers 70% of sales.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been the end of 2023, you must have been on cloud nine.
You're crazy. Like, and I think sometimes it's still like, it still hasn't set in because, you know, it was a lockdown project and it hasn't been that long since I started this. Like 4 or 5 years isn't a massive amount of time. But yeah, the numbers are crazy. I think I never thought an Irish cookbook would go in and top all these charts from different countries. So it's great.
How many books are we in now? And I look at this new one.
This is book 7. So this is not a full kind of hardback cookbook. This is something a bit different that people online have asked for, and they've said, you know, we love your cookbooks and we love your recipes, but we love the fact that you plan your meals and you give structure and you kind of lay out your meal plan for the week. So this is
one we can scribble on because it's a meal
planner.
On
this. It's a meal planner and there's recipes in it as well. So it's a 12-week plan for your shopping budget so you can track how much you're spending. It's a 12-week plan to have your recipes in it, and as well as that to track things like your health and your habits and your 5 a day if you do that, your water, your sleep, but all those things that are around food and your lifestyle that make an impact on how you feel every day.
And you include calories as well.
I do, but I always say this, you know, calories are there and they're subtle and in the background. You can have them if you want them. They're not. It's not a diet book. It's not a slimming book.
You're not into dieting. You don't hammer people on that at all.
I don't. I think it's food is all about a healthy balance. So on one page, you know, you'll find a really lovely chicken risotto that's fairly lean. On the second page, you'll see.
I was going to mention the prawn pudding, risotto. Yeah. That's only 300 and something calories. I couldn't believe it.
It's great, yeah. But then on the next page, you'll have something like a chocolate brownie because, you know, food is all about balance and health. It's all about balance as well. And if you restrict yourself, it's never going to be good. So I think the balance is key.
Cheeseburger.
I knew you were going to mention this.
This is my favourite thing of all time. People know the calzone pizzas, the folded over thing. Mm. So this is like a flatbread wrap that you're making from scratch.
Yeah, like a flatbread wrap, and then you fill it with all of your kind of your cheeseburger.
Your homemade burger.
Your homemade burger, your mince.
Controversially,
your
you put the tomato and gherkin chopped up inside the beef mince.
Inside, because you're sealing the pastry. It's kind of like a calzone because you're sealing it and it's all going to cook inside.
Nutmeg in your burger? That's a Kevin Dundon classic now. Yeah, a little pinch of nutmeg.
So if you can't decide between a cheeseburger or a pizza, then why not have them both in one?
I love the calorie count on this one. 666.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe not on that one. Yeah, yeah. Not the right number.
Tempted, yeah. But it looks amazing.
It does, yeah, and it's really handy too. And we had a book that published a couple of months ago and it was Healthy Takeaways, and it was all about taking restaurant food and takeaway food and making it healthier in a slow cooker and an air fryer. So before this kind of the planner was published, we had Healthy Takeaways, so it done really well.
I'm amazed by the book sales are so huge, considering you kind of give it all away online as well, because I have your spice bag marked down for the weekend.
I love a spice bag. Yeah, but spice bags have gone so mainstream now. It's all these people from other countries. Have you tried an Irish
That's
spice
right.
bag?
Yeah.
You've all these celebrities coming here. I'm here for an Irish spice bag. But yeah, I think people, you know, online shows them a taste of the recipes, and I think one, they want more, and two, they're just kind of showing their support to say, we're getting all these free recipes. I'm going to buy a book because there's going to be more in it as well. So yeah, people have forever really got behind the books, which is amazing. And there's a website too, boardoflunch.com, where people can get even more recipes too.
What I'm really surprised with, given the volume that you have on social media, is that we don't see you going, buy this car. Now I went on this holiday. You should use this airliner, this cruise liner. Mm. You haven't done any of that, which is
tempting. No, don't get me wrong. I have had some lovely invites and things like that. But I think, I don't like flaunting things or things like that. You know, I kind of just take each day and just appreciate the things that I have. And if I treat myself, I would never kind of show online. You know, I would say, I've bought this or I've bought that. I think sometimes in social media there is an element of oversharing.
Sorry, that is the theme of social media. Yeah. Is it's almost like if someone doesn't feel bad, jealous or envious, then they're not doing it right.
Yeah.
You're doing the polar opposite thing despite the success.
I think so. And I think sometimes even at Christmas too, you know, you see a lot of people post online, you know, you've seen people saying, look at all these presents my kids got.
And I think, my house.
And things like
that. I've got.
And that's great, but it's just not something, it's just not content that I would consume or I would post. I love to see people do well and get themselves amazing things, but it's not content that I would share.
But because your message is kind of things can be done much more cheaply,
cost effective, and you know, here's how you can save yourself money on your food shop. And by doing that and using the books and using those recipes, you can be able to treat yourself to more expensive things if you plan your food shop. You know, if you go into your supermarket and you don't know what you're making for the week, you're going to buy all around you. You'll be like, I'll buy a bag of this, I'll buy a bag of that, and then you get home and you've spent maybe 250 euros and you don't know what you're cooking.
You haven't planned.
And you've also bought more ingredients that you probably don't need. So that's kind of the structure and kind of promise of this book, where it gives you kind of a layout and a plan where you can save money and plan your food.
There are lots of meal planning mistakes that people make and you have the easy fix.
Don't go shopping hungry. That's number one.
That's absolutely.
It's so important though. I do it too. I go into M&S and I'm like, oh, there's a bag of Percy Pigs, and then you eat them halfway around the shop and you scan them at the till. Yeah, that's the main thing. Don't go shopping when you're hungry.
Do that? I'd be scared to do that.
What? Eat them
while you're...
Yeah, just put them in the trolley and just like, yeah, because like, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they encourage that, do they?
No, don't. If you're listening, please don't eat your sweets before you pay for them. But
your simple things are like you make the ham at home, slice it up during the week, it'll last a good while.
Yeah, like absolutely. Do you know, like... I made a big batch
in
the slow cooker, yeah. Or in the air fryer too. Like last night I made a batch of this egg and onion is my favourite sandwich. It's the most popular funeral sandwich in Northern Ireland. Yeah.
And down here too.
Is it, yeah?
I wanted to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Give me the ham first of all. Ham in the air fryer.
Yeah, so I would slow cook it, maybe like Coca-Cola or cider, or you could even do it in stock or something as well. Yeah, whatever.
The usual way that, yeah, but in the slow
bit
cooker.
Of onion and carrot,
and then you're finishing it in the
air fryer to give it that lovely kind of sticky, crispy glaze. You could use marmalade, or you could use, I always just use honey and Dijon mustard. Put it into the air fryer. You don't need to preheat it. Whereas, so if me and you's cooking a ham, I'm going to get mine cooked quicker. I don't have to preheat my air fryer. And you're going to wait 10 minutes before your oven's ready. Mine's already in and it's cooking. So my ham will be ready by the time you're putting your ham in. So
it's only 10 minutes, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it depends how big the ham is.
But I like the slow adventure of cooking.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. You're going to waste more money though.
How long will you safely hold on to your ham for, by the way, if you're cutting it up for sandwiches?
I don't know. Five to seven, I'll say, if it lasts that long as well. Ham's one of those things that you'll just kind of snack on. You walk past the fridge and pick another slice or put it into a wrapper. Five to seven days.
Watch out for turning green.
Yeah, I know. You'll know from the smell. Don't eat it if it's green.
So back to the egg and onion sandwiches.
Yeah, my favourite. Yeah, proper wake and funeral sandwich in the north. It's like, that's what would be my go-to. I don't want to go to wakes or funerals, but if I'm there, I'll take an egg and onion sandwich.
I never thought of putting just a dollop of Dijon mustard. Oh, yeah.
And a pinch of nutmeg as well. You mentioned nutmeg.
Your nutmeg goes in there.
Yeah, just a tiny pinch. Nutmeg goes well with anything creamy. Always just add a little pinch, bit of mustard, salt and pepper. Salad cream or...
Yes.
This is controversial.
This is controversial. Yeah,
it is very... sometimes make it with mayo because you can use salad cream, but if you've mustard in it, it's doing the salad cream's job. It's just really...
Is mayo the porter down and then you head south, it's salad cream?
It depends. Even my mum would say, I always use salad cream. Why are you using mayo? But it just depends what you have. Like sometimes you use both. I'm just a bit of mayo, a bit of salad cream.
I don't even know what salad cream is. Like, it's a stupid name.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
I love it as well.
Yeah. It's basically
vinegar and eggs.
Yeah, vinegar, eggs, and there's a bit of mustard in it as well.
And it's far lighter than mayonnaise, isn't
it? A bit, not that much, not but that you much. Can get all these versions now, 30% less fat, 30% less sugar.
You chop up your boiled eggs how?
With a pair of scissors. You're really into
this. I'm really into this.
This is an old video. I'm surprised you've noticed this. I just put them all in the bowl and just quickly blast them with a pair of scissors. I cut my chicken with scissors as well. When I watch people use a chopping board and they cut all their chicken up with a knife, it triggers me. I'm like, why not just get it over a bowl and just use your scissors? And
it's
quicker and it's cleaner as well.
I think people just have scissors in their head as a, you know, household object in the messy drawer.
Mm. But like, you just have your bowl, and then you can actually just take the chicken and cut it directly onto the pan if it's hot.
Did they use the scissors in Ballymaloe?
No. Hopefully nobody from hopefully the teachers from Ballymaloe are not listening. Or
using a scissors on both legs.
But I think, you know, it's good to get inspiration from others, but I think it's nice to have your own routine and habits too.
It's great. Let's give you some of these messages before you go. I slice my ham, leftover joint, into two chunky slices each, bagged and froze. Mm-hmm. And I've been taking a 2-slice bag out of the freezer in the evening for lunch the following day. Only 6 slices. That is someone very organised.
That's very organised. Yeah.
I followed Nathan's air fryer recipe for our turkey at Christmas. Absolutely perfect. And they say up Monaghan, so there you go.
That's here, Kevin Monaghan. No, but turkeys are great in the air fryer.
Your turkey crown.
Turkey crown. It's great.
Looks
amazing. Just without the wings and the legs, really.
You even got it brown.
Lovely. It saves people time. I think people always worry about a Christmas dinner, but it's just a big Sunday dinner. It's just a big chicken. It is. That's it.
It's far more than a chicken.
Monaghan is
the home of poetry. Listen, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me in
today. Board of Lunch Meal Planner with Recipes is out now, and it's not a big chunky hardback. So you're being nice all the way along.
Nice.
Oh, there's one last message. Love Nathan's Instagram for the very reason that he continues to post fabulous recipes. He isn't trying to influence people or sell us stuff. Thank you for sharing brilliant content.
That's lovely.
Here for that one. Nathan,
thank you very much.
Thanks a million.
Thanks for having us.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.